All right, it is Tuesday. It is 2:30, so that means it is the Boyack review. I need to get like the movie guy to do some sort of opening for you, Connor. Are you there?
I am, Jake. How are you?
Good, good. You know who I'm talking about, right? The guy who has
a
real deep voice.
The deep voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Today, the Boyack review.
The Boyack review commences.
Talking about drones. Will they shoot you dead?
I wonder, you know, does it require, like, has anyone attained that level of bass in their voice without smoking significantly?
I saw on YouTube this, like, 12-year-old kid who's able to do a really great impression of him. It's totally hilarious.
Wow.
So I don't know. Maybe he's a longtime smoker.
Well, and do you remember the man with the golden voice? He made the rounds on Facebook like a year ago. He's a homeless guy that had just this deep bass voice, you know. But his was drugs too. And I just gotta wonder if anyone has the God given talent of a, you know. We need more of those.
Well, let's get to this drones thing, okay? Because I think that I feel this thing. It makes me feel like I'm living in the the beginning of the Terminator movies or something.
You know
what I mean? Like all it's going to take is one jerky guy or a bad, you know, computer program or something, and these drones are just going to start opening fire on us or something, like they do in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
It is. You know, whether you take the Terminator route or you take the George Orwell, you know, 1984 route, it is worrisome. And really just doing the research and gathering the material for this segment today, it gets you fired up. It gets me fired up. It gets me extremely angry that this is going on. So we're talking about drones, the use of unmanned aerial vehicles that in the past just under a decade have become extremely common in the military. So they started around, you know, 2004, 2005 during Bush's term. And you would think with kind of the initial anti-war candidacy of Barack Obama that they would be scaled down, if not outright completed, but they've been significantly increased, the use of these drones, to the point that, let's see, I got the number here, 260 attacks using drones in Pakistan alone by Barack Obama, and that's one every 4 days. And that, keep in mind, that's just the stat for Pakistan. We, you know, use them in other countries. We're using them right now in Yemen. We're carpet bombing these countries. And you might think, well, okay, drones, the purpose of drones is to not have to put boots on the ground. We save American troops' lives. We can use pinpoint, you know, precision technology to directly strike the person that we want to get. But the drone campaign waged by the CIA and other military agencies has not been confined to just pinpoint precision strikes. In fact, there's been reports by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism. They, for example, had a 3-month investigation that concluded earlier this year. They found evidence that at least 50 different civilians were killed in follow-up strikes. Now, these aren't the initial strikes that were going after the alleged target, the alleged terrorist. These are follow-up strikes that when people went to then go help these victims,
right,
they showed up afterwards, even at funerals, right? This isn't just like the dead body on the side of the road from the drone attack, someone goes over to help, although there are many cases of that happening, that the drone then strikes the people going to assist. However, even at funerals, there was a CIA strike where they killed Quaz Wali Mesood, this alleged terrorist and leader in the Pakistan Taliban. And the drone strike killed at least 5 others. So fast forward to the funeral for this guy. There's almost 5,000 people there that afternoon, including not only Taliban fighters, but many other civilians as well. The drones come and they strike again, killing almost over 80 people, right? And as many as 45 of those people were civilians, reportedly 10 of them children and 4 tribal leaders. These are war crimes, right? This is the deliberate targeting of civilian population. Now, what's interesting is this report by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism was designed to prove that the top counterterrorism advisor for Barack Obama, his name is John Brennan, that this individual had lied when he had said about the drone strikes in Pakistan, quote, "In the last year, there hasn't been a single collateral death because of the exceptional proficiency, precision, and the capabilities that we've been able to develop." And this report by the Bureau of Investigative Journalism absolutely disproves that. They have a number of eyewitnesses. They have tangible proof showing that these drone strikes did come back and target people who were going to assist. You know, for example, an examination by the Bureau of 116 CIA secret drone strikes in Pakistan just since August 2010, had uncovered that at least 10 individual attacks had 45 or more civilians who died as a result of these attacks. This is not something that we're just going in and striking the specific person that we want. These, like any other operations that use missiles or grenades or bombs or what have you, have quote-unquote collateral damage. Those present in the immediate or nearby vicinity of the target, of where the actual missile ends up landing, are going to be affected and are affected as well. We are killing many innocent individuals as a result of these drone operations conducted by remote control by, you know, video game addicts half a world away sitting in the dark in a comfortable room. And I actually know an individual who's employed doing this. It is quite offensive. It's extremely infuriating. But I think what's more maddening, and we'll get into it later, perhaps after the break, is how this is being used domestically now. Traditionally, we've heard that, and we're really familiar as an American people, only with these drones being used abroad, that they are used for the military. And that's true, but they are being turned on American people as well. And we should also note that kind of this weird, slow migration from using it abroad to using it domestically could have been also assisted with the use of drones against Anwar al-Awlaki, who was an American citizen, right? He was an alleged terrorist. He was living abroad. He had gone to college here in America. He had American citizenship. The American government alleged that he was involved in terrorist operations, or really just planning attacks in the Middle East, and used a drone to strike him and kill him. No trial, no due process. The individual and unalienable rights of this American citizen, even if he was a terrorist, were snuffed out by the mere decree of a very few limited government individuals. What's especially troubling, Jake, what came out this morning with Glenn Greenwald, who has been probably one of the foremost critics of these type of operations.
Excellent
person to read.
I love everything he's written, man. That guy is just a lion.
He's a firebrand. He is spot on. And he wrote an article today that a friend pointed me to that discusses this character, John Brennan, who I talked about. As a reminder, he's Barack Obama's counterterrorism advisor. He was nominated for the top for the CIA chief spot, but, you know, due to other circumstances, didn't make it. But he was ostensibly named to an ostensibly more powerful position by Barack Obama, that of his counterterrorism advisor, who can kind of keep these agencies at bay and maintain control over them by filtering them up through the president. Now, this same individual who blatantly lied, who said that not one single collateral death had happened because of these drones abroad, is now claiming the authority, as Glenn Greenwald writes this morning, to choose which terrorists will be targeted for drone attacks or raids. So this actually establishes a new procedure for both military and CIA targets, that filtering through this single individual who has clearly showed that he's either inept, because he completely, you know, was wrong about this, or that he blatantly lied so as to deceive the American public. Either way, this guy is asserting the control over life and death, over alleged terrorists, over, clearly, as the data has shown, innocent individuals, and is claiming the power to order strikes by virtue of the authority he's been given in his position to use these drones against people abroad who, you know, may or may not be terrorists. These are all allegations. They are statements made and claims made by the government that have not been vetted or proved in any way, shape, or form. And now this one individual who's either inept or an outright liar is claiming the authority and the ability to use these drones as kind of his personal, you know, military weapon, these toys to send abroad that kill these people that he, for whatever reason, thinks should be killed. This is extremely worrisome that there's no judicial oversight over this at all. This is filtering the decision of life and death about alleged terrorists, about likely innocent individuals, into the hands of one single individual. That these hundreds of drones are being used, and now are being used at the behest of potentially one single individual. I find that extremely worrisome.
Yeah, and you look at what happens when somebody. Because we know, this is not controversial, that the drone strikes killed children, over 130 children in Pakistan that were directly ordered, you know, because of Obama's undeclared war in Pakistan. And, you know, it really is so wrong on so many different levels that this kind of stuff is being allowed to happen, not only overseas, but now you know, it's starting to happen here. We're bumping up on our commercial here. Let's, after the break, let's kind of go maybe deeper into the ramifications of this here and this here. I know that Ogden's, there's these drone permits, and I know we've got a couple places here in Utah. Guys, come on back to Boyack Review right here.
Hang on, help is on its way. I'll be there as fast as I can.
All right, guys, welcome back. Mental Self Defense Radio. I am Jake Shannon, joined as ever at 2:30 on a Tuesday by Connor Boyack. We're talking about the drones, the attack of the drones. They're bringing them here, Connor.
They are. You know, it's especially troubling. And just as a quick review, these have been used significantly in the past 7 or 8 years abroad. Hundreds of attacks. We've killed innocent individuals. But it is coming here. The Congress passed a bill in February mandating that the Federal Aviation Administration, the agency that's tasked with managing all the aviation airplanes and such, mandating that they must open national airspace to drones, despite, you know, what is overwhelming civil liberty dangers to every single American. And in a new rule announced, I think it was this past Monday, it may have been 1 week ago, but just in the past few days, the FAA announced in these new rules that they are, quote, streamlining the process for public agencies, which includes local law enforcement, to legally operate drones in U.S. skies. So here you have Congress saying, we want drones, we're going to use drones. Here's the FAA saying, oh, we're going to make it super easy for any police agency to be able to do this. And the agency, FAA, projects that 30,000 drones could be in the nation's skies by 2020. That's in 8 years. That means almost nine new drones will be launched somewhere in America every single day. These drones cost roughly an average of $4 million per drone, and that is just to purchase it, let alone the costs for, you know, maintenance and tech support and the like. That's well over $30 million a day that's being used merely in the acquisition of drones by local law enforcement agencies through the year 2020, according to these projections. What I find astonishing, absolutely astonishing, as I was gathering the material for this, is that the military currently only owns 445 drones. And they project that by the year 2022, right, so this goes even 2 years past the projection for this 30,000 drones domestically, by the year 2022, the military expects that they will acquire, going from 445 up to 645. So in the next decade, they're only going to increase their arsenal of drones by 200. And here the estimate is that all across America, we're going to have 30,000 drones. Now, of course, there's a distinction, at least here initially, that the drones being used abroad are primarily for striking, right, for military strikes, and they carry weapons on board. However, they do also use them significantly for surveillance. Whereas the distinction, again, initially, is that the drones to be used domestically are at least primarily for surveillance, but may increasingly in the future have the capability to, you know, strike someone if there's a standoff between police or what have you. I find that absolutely just appalling that in orders of magnitude more than the military uses these drones, they're going to be deployed against the American people. And we shouldn't speak only of the future tense when we're talking about this. Drones, or perhaps a drone, potentially more, have already been used. There was a dispute recently. Will Grigg on Lou Rockwell wrote an excellent post about this, that there's a farmer in North Dakota by the name of Rodney Brossart. That's B-R-O-S-S-A-R-T, if someone wants to look it up. Rodney Brossart. This farmer in North Dakota, it was a dispute over stray cattle. The police got involved. There was a, you know, disturbance. He got tased. The wife kind of fought back a little bit. So then they hauled him off to jail. The farmers come back looking for guns that this guy had. The sons are there holding the guns and wanting to mount a defense because they, you know, are wondering where their dad is. They feel he's been kidnapped by law enforcement, essentially. So anyways, it's a traditional standoff. Conflict increases. But this police agency had access to and used a drone. Circling 2 miles overhead the next morning, this drone had all these sensors that were able to help the police pinpoint where the three sons were, showed that they were unarmed, so the police then rushed in and then made the first known arrests of U.S. citizens with the help of a predator drone. What we're going to see a lot more of with the FAA streamlining these rules and such. What's especially worrisome for those of us here in Utah is that we're not exempt. As you noted just before the break, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, EFF.org, they did a FOIA against the agency and were able to obtain information relative to the drone certificates that are being issued from the FAA. Included in that list are two locations in Utah, one of which is the Utah State University, which I find interesting. The other one was the Ogden Police Department, the police department of glorious fame that is extremely active in the war on drugs.
Yeah, this the EFF, they're like one of the great organizations that just, they do so much, and they get, like, you know, these people that are new libertarians don't really realize how powerful and what the great high-quality level of thinking and policy that and advocacy that those guys are doing. Yeah, they have, like, a map or something, if I remember right, on their website. And it's, like, every drone. And the thing that's scary about this, you know what it makes me think of? It makes me think of, because, you know, when I, in my mind, in the whole Terminator scenario, I see those grainy black and white images where, you know, these drones are going and shooting people and stuff, the security cam style footage. Well, it always makes me think about Bradley Manning. Mm-hmm. You know, what are we going to... We treat people who actually tell, you know, raise their hand and say, hey, this is wrong. We treat people, make an example out of them, like Bradley Manning. You know, that seems like the only way that we're actually going to use these drones in a good way is if people are really making sure, but we're punishing people who kind of blow the whistle and say, hey, you're using these the wrong way.
You know, we are, and you ask, you know, you might ask the rhetorical question, what's at stake? Qui bono? Who benefits?
Yep.
And when you review the statistic that I mentioned earlier, that these drones cost an estimated $4 million each, and that there's an expected 30,000 of them in the nation's skies in the next 8 years, you can only conclude that this is the latest toy, the latest acquisition, the latest fetish for the military-industrial complex. You know, the one article said that the commercial drone market in the United States, based on these statistics and others, could be worth hundreds of millions of dollars once the FAA clears their use, which they're now about to, and they've streamlined these rules. It should be noted that the map you mentioned, the data that was released by the EFF, does not necessarily mean that each of those agencies, each of those law enforcement departments and localities have drones. We don't know. I don't know yet if the Ogden Police Department actually has a drone. All that map meant, all that data means...
Yeah, it's like permits or something.
Is that they have permits, right, that they've gotten permission from the FAA to be able to use them. I don't know that Ogden has $4 million laying around, but with these federal grants that are coming out and all these subsidies, one can only imagine that the federal government is going to overwhelmingly be pushing these towards the local level, just like we've seen the federalization and the militarization of the local police department since 9/11. The same trend is going to continue. It's just that the latest object, instead of tanks and heat arrays and sound machines and all these other gizmos, is now going to be these unmanned aerial vehicles used for surveillance and perhaps someday also for strikes.
Well, because we do know that they have weapons when they're out of this country, and you know, we don't know what they're doing with them. We've got a caller here. We got Michael out in Ozarks, if I can get this button to go. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, friends, I've been tagged. I've made some propositions with our nation, and they don't know quite what to think of me yet.
Okay, Michael, you're being really cryptic. I have no clue what you're talking about and how it's relevant.
Okay, these drones came up my street, in essence, and I've seen them in flight. So I have a clue as to what they do to you and me, okay?
What is that?
Oh, it's like terror.
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's a little freaky to look up and see these crazy Terminator-style machines looking over you.
Now, that's where we go. That's where we're going from here. You know, I get on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and I tell the people I am the king of terror, because this is my essence right here. My essence is this one thought, that as so long as I am dangerous to my world, I'm sane. When the world becomes dangerous to me, whoopee-doo, you know, I belong to you. And
Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
Are you sure?
Okay, I'm flying off into a few multiverses of reality.
You are, my friend. And unfortunately, most people are probably changing the channel. So I'm unfortunately going to let you go. All right, buddy? I appreciate the call.
I have that one question.
Yeah, well, okay, go for it. Make it quick.
To your guest, where do we go from here?
Okay, I appreciate the call. Connor, where do we go from here?
I didn't understand the first 90%, but that last 10% is a very important and valid
question.
Yeah,
I think that the last part is important. let's focus on that.
Let's do. So the EFF also had a report along with the data that they released talking about one local law enforcement in Seattle, I believe it was, that the Seattle City Council noticed their name on this list where we found the Utah State University and Ogden Police Department. And it was a surprise to them. They had no clue what was going on. So as a municipality, they are including in their city ordinances language that binds down and restricts and limits the ability for such surveillance, the purposes of its use, and things of that nature. So in summary, Seattle is the first city that's publicly known so far to be fighting back against the use of drones within their municipality in the skies above them. That, I think, is the pattern, much like all of the other objections that, you know, we make to the federal government, is fighting back, at a local level. I don't know that the cities are the best place to do it, though certainly should be used to the extent that their city council is willing to take action and start, you know, grading that issue along the constitutional line. I think, as with so many other issues, the state is the proper place to do it. You know, we've objected in Utah in some degree to the TSA, to the NDAA, to these other privacy issues. We talk about the Fourth Amendment, not realizing in many cases that the Utah Constitution has almost the exact verbiage that the Fourth Amendment does within our own state constitution. The right to be free from searches and seizures, the right of privacy, of due process in these things. There is opportunity here for the state to push back, for the state to limit the use and the ability of the federal government, of local law enforcement agencies even, and especially, to fight back against this, to resist the surveillance state. The state, you know, any political subdivision in Utah is under the jurisdiction of the state. They are creations. Cities and counties are creations of the state. Therefore, the state can enact policy, and in my view should, that prevents the cities from perhaps buying drones, using drones, or if they're going to have them, that they can only use them in specific cases where a warrant has been obtained. Much of the problem, as Judge Napolitano in a couple excellent articles that he has written on this subject, much of the problem is that these surveillance drones can store video, photos, audio of anything that they capture, and they will. You know that the federal government's not just erasing this stuff. You got the NSA facility being built out, you know, west next to the military facility out west.
Yes.
Of Lehigh. Of course they're going to archive this stuff. It is the state that needs to fight back to restrict the local law enforcement agencies from participating in this game. So I would encourage any listener who objects to these drones, who objects to their use abroad, who's worried about the surveillance and police state here at home, to contact their representatives, their representative and their senator here at the state level. Express to them what's going on. Send them these articles by Glenn Greenwald. Go look online. He's on salon.com. Generate some conversation. Let's start talking about this. Let's find the legislators, the civil libertarians, and even just the general conservatives who will stand up and say, we may understand a use for this abroad, even though I personally object to it, but this is not something we're going to accept here within the state of Utah. And even if we are, if we're forced to, if because of our, you know, we haven't been weaned from the federal government yet and they're going to force this stuff on us, let's at least provide significant restrictions that will dictate specific limited uses, especially with a warrant, these cases in which a drone may or may not be used.
Yeah, I mean, we could certainly set up some sort of policy. I know that didn't Napolitano say something about what was his
shooting
thing about,
him down?
Yeah, I mean, what was his? I don't. I just remember it was
kind
of crazy.
He was saying that the first American to shoot down a drone that's deployed domestically will be considered a hero by his fellow Americans. And I don't know that he went quite to the extent of encouraging people to do that, though. There certainly was no disclaimer to say, you know, you shouldn't do it. It was, you know, this is open target season. Let's pull out your best rifle and let's shoot these things down from the sky. I'll be curious to see if it happens. I personally would not condone or advocate it, but I would not be opposed to seeing that happen. This this is the police state being brought domestically, and I think bold action needs to be taken. I'm not saying shoot them down from the sky. I think the state legislator right now is the best way to work against this. But, you know, 30,000 drones in the next 8 years, hundreds of millions of dollars, the NSA facility, the recording of the American... I mean, for example, these things are going nuclear. They're going to be up in the sky for months. We need to push back against this.
I hear you, man. Hey, great topic, Connor. The Boyack Review every Tuesday here at Mental Self Defense Radio, guys.